All right, let's get right into it. We always begin our sessions by with this proclamation, with this confession, and with this prayer. So either you can look on the book that you may have, the notes that you have that we pass out to you before we get started, and you can read this confession and this prayer, or perhaps it's on the video screen. And so either way, come on, join in with us. Let's read this together, everyone, saying, Lord, I pray that the word today would find good soil in my heart. I reject the spirit of offense. Where the light of your word exposes my sin, I do not take offense. I will repent and turn to you, my heavenly Father. I reject condemnation. Your word says there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. This word does not come to condemn me, but it comes to heal me. I reject accusation. Satan is the accuser of the brethren, and this word does not come to accuse me or abuse me. This word exposes Satan and his lies, and I choose to believe and receive the truth. God says in his word, blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. For many prophets and righteous men desired to see what I see and did not see it, and to hear what I hear and did not hear it. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against or miss the will of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with me, your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your word today. Lord, we thank you today for what you want to say and what you want to do in this room, in this assembly, even for those that are watching this by video or those who may be listening to this recording. Lord, we thank you for speaking into every life, into every heart, and moving into every home with your healing. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to continue talking about King's Kids, understanding the Father's heart. And this is, and can you believe it? This is part 7. We don't know how many parts we're going to end up with, but this is part 7 as we're talking about understanding the Father's heart. Our theme scripture throughout this entire teaching series has been John 14, chapter verse 18, which says, I will not leave you orphans. That was Jesus talking. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. And we also took the time to look at the parable from Luke, the 15th chapter, that very well-known parable of the father that had two sons. The younger son told the father, Lord, you know, give me, Dad, give me my portion that's coming to me, you know, of your livelihood. And he knew that there would come a day when after his father passed away that they would divide up the inheritance, and his older brother would get a double portion or two-thirds of the inheritance, and he would get one-third. And so he said, Dad, give me the part that's coming to me and let me go on with my life. And so we remember going through talking about that son who wasted it. He's called a prodigal son. That word prodigal just simply means wasteful. He wasted all of the inheritance that he had been given because he didn't understand sonship. And then it talks about how he finally came to himself and went back home to his dad, really with a humble heart. Yes. He was humbled by that experience of losing everything and
an appreciation
for what he had lost. And that's often how it is as we as children of God, when we live as orphans, we don't understand what we already have. And actually, when he got home and his dad was so glad to see him, as you know from reading that story, he ran out and met him and had the servants to give him the best robe and put the ring back on his finger, meaning his sonship and his authority, put shoes on his feet. Everything was restored back to him. But his older brother, when he found out that his younger brother was home and that his dad had done all this great celebrating, including killing the fatted calf, which was a big deal in those days. So he said, you know, Dad, you know, How could you do that? He wasted the inheritance that you gave it to him. And, you know, you're celebrating with him. You gave him the fatted calf. You welcomed him back home. And, you know, in fact, he didn't even call him his brother. He said, you know, this son of yours, which went out and wasted everything. But his dad corrected him and said, your brother. He's your brother. And son, you've always been with me. You know, you upset because I never threw a party for you. But actually, prophetically, what they're saying is, and those of us who have been like that, children of the Lord, well, we feel like we've been faithful. We've kept our dad's command. We've always been faithful, done all the things he's told us to do. But it seems like God never celebrated us, and he never did anything for us. So it looks like, you know, the people that are wasteful get all of the blessings. They get restored. They get the blessings. And those of us who remain faithful, it looks like we get nothing. And all the favoritism goes to the wasteful ones. But his father was clearly just told him, son, you were waiting for me to celebrate you, but you, everything I have is yours.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting, though, that he never even asked his father?
Yeah, didn't even ask. Huh. You know, there's no indication in that story that he ever even asked. And so the other thing also is that, you know, his father clearly telling him, son, everything that I have is yours. So it's right that we should make merry or be glad that your brother is home, because we get to restore everything back to him that he gave up. But son, you've always been able to celebrate. And remember, the part of the revelation the Lord gave us in our teaching was that father kind of saying this, if you want to read between the lines, if you allow me to do that. And that is, you know, son, you were waiting for me to throw you a party. But actually, why didn't you ever celebrate that you have? Why didn't you celebrate me? And that's really how what the Lord is saying to us today. You know, you're waiting for God to do something special for you, and you're waiting for a breakthrough, and waiting for, you know, you've been serving and being faithful, so you're thinking that your service is going to cause you to be blessed by the Lord. But the Lord is telling you, you are already blessed. So go ahead and praise God before you see the breakthrough. Praise and bless him no matter what it is that you're facing. That's what his dad was either saying. Son, you're waiting for me to do something special for you as a result of your labor. But actually, son, you go ahead and you celebrate now, before the inheritance, before the breakthrough, before you see anything happen. Give God praise. And that's our word for you today. Give God praise. Those of you who've been working real hard, serving the Lord faithfully, and now you're angry because it looks like the wasteful people getting all of the blessings. No, your dad is saying to you, you already have everything that you need. But you say, but I don't see it. Yeah, because you got to bless him. You praise him. Something happens when you begin to bless and praise God. Then you begin to see things the way he sees them. Because his father was telling him, son, you're not looking at this right. If you had been looking at this right, you would have realized that everything is already yours. Mm-hmm. But the thing that would have brought you into that reality that everything is already yours is if you had gone ahead and thrown a party. So right now in this room, come on, give God praise. Come on, give him praise right now. Go ahead and throw your party right now. I don't see this right, God. I'm complaining about stuff instead of just saying, God, you already good. Everything already belongs to me. You already faithful. You don't have to bless me before I praise you. I'm praising you now. Yeah. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, we thank you, Lord. I think we got caught on that point last time, too, because that's just the major revelation for you to understand. You got to really catch this. All of you elder sons and elder daughters out there that are really upset with your younger brothers and siblings, who it looks like they get all the blessings, even though they're not doing half as much work as you. They don't fast as much as you. They don't pray as much as you. They don't serve in the house of God as much as you do. And why serve their parents? They know, it seems like they're disobedient, rebellious, and they get all the breaks. But I'm telling you, God is telling you, you faithful ones, you better celebrate now. You better praise God now, because when you do, your eyes are going to open up, and you're going to see what's already yours, and then you're going to start walking in what's already yours. You're going to start living in what's already yours. You're going to come out of that field of working, and you're going to come into this place of praising. Yes. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. I got to move on. I'll stop right here, and we won't get any further. Bless the name of the Lord. And so we also took the time to take a look at a very special revelation about how both of those sons lived with an orphan spirit. Remember going back through that the definition of an orphan spirit is a Christian who responds to life and difficulties and challenges and pain and pressure and problems. They respond to those things as if though they don't have any parents, and that's authority and accountability and guidance and counsel, or they respond to life like they have no power. like they have no ability, they have no influence, they have no favor. Sometimes they can respond like they have no protection from the Lord, as if though he's not guarding them and as if though he's not covering them. And they respond as if though you have no provision, you have no resources, you have no supply, you have no inheritance. And then finally, it's when Christians respond as if though they have no purpose. There's no plans that God has for them. There's no destination. He's not taking them somewhere. As if though they don't have a pattern to follow. And there's no design and there's no rhyme and reason to their life. And the result of living that way, or the kind of the biggest response in all of those areas that we see, is that we'll start living on our own. We start making our own decisions, making our own plans, trying to provide for ourselves, trying to protect
God's way,
trying to protect yourself. And so that's what it means to have an orphan spirit. When you start trying to do things on your own, aside from God, or independent of God, as if though he's not your daddy. And so we even took the time, and I won't do that now. You'll have to go back and look at those previous sessions where we broke down and looked at 16 areas that you can look at and see if you're manifesting in some way an orphan spirit. We don't mean like a demonic presence or something taking over. What we mean is an attitude, a disposition, a way of thinking. That's what we're talking about when we say an orphan spirit, because it's not something that you can cast out.
Right.
It's not something that, here's how you get rid of the orphan spirit, and that is you really need to just get a fresh look at God your Father. Just let him, the phrase that this gentleman used, that was pastor that we heard from Norway, a Norwegian pastor we heard preached on this particular subject, he said you need a baptism in the love of God. Yeah. That's what happened. That's how you get rid of an orphan spirit. Just the whole fresh renewal and an understanding of the love of God as my Father. You need a revelation of him as your Father. And that's a tough one, because many people haven't had good examples of fathering, whether as a natural father or as a pastor, as a leader, as mentors. And so we can transfer, we talked about, those negative feelings and experiences that we've had with earthly fathers onto God, and therefore not receive from him what he's really trying to get us to see about him and understand him, and then get that hurting place healed, to get that orphan spirit and that mindset removed from our life. We took a look at the way God is. In other words, we started off with the first thing you must accept if you're going to move into getting rid of this orphan spirit is you got to really look and see how, what are God's ways. God's got some ways about him.
Yes.
His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. But he calls us, he calls us kings, first of all. We took a look from the book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 2, which says, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. So we took a quick look at how, as kings, as royalty, we're his royalty. We're like kings. And when you grow, when it's time to mature and grow up in God, then you got to get away from just simply thinking that every time we cry like a baby, that God's going to change those diapers, and every time you cry, you're going to get a bottle, and every time you cry, you're going to get cuddled. Now, there's a time and a season for that. When you were a baby, all of us went through it both naturally and spiritually. Well, when we cried, every time we cried, we got fed every time we cried and were hungry. You got fed every time you cried and you needed to be changed. It happened every time you cried and you needed to be comforted. He picked you up and he held you. And so, but after a while, you start growing up. And he starts requiring of you to reach out and search out matters, and begin to plug in and dig more for answers. It's not that God doesn't provide for us when we cry out and when we ask. In fact, his word clearly says, ask and it shall be given, and seek, you shall find, knock, and the door shall be open. But the working tense of those verbs, I understand from Bible scholars, is ask and keep asking, knock and keep knocking.
Yes.
Yeah. Seek and keep seeking. In other words, it's a continual, constant thing. And so God starts you off with, like, the first time you ask, he may answer. First time you knock, he may answer. He may open the door. First time you seek, you find it instantly. But as you get older in the Lord, he requires that you ask and keep asking, and knock and keep knocking. Yeah. Seek and keep seeking. And the reason why is because now he's bringing you into some of his ways, as and that how he'll conceal a matter. We use the example of how, like, if you wrap up a gift, and it's very precious gift, birthday gift, Christmas gift, things like that. It's all wrapped up, and the person that you give it to, they've got to unwrap the gift to find out what's in there. And so that's how God does his kings. He conceals a matter, and he requires that you unwrap it to find out what the gift's in there. He doesn't hide it from you. It's hidden for you. Just like in the, even again, in the natural, diamonds are in mines. Gold is in mines. And so miners, people have to dig deep into the earth to get that precious metal, gold, to get that precious stone, diamond. And God is the same way with you and me. He'll require some mining, digging deep, because something's going to happen to you in the process of the digging. It's not just the gift, but you regain an appreciation for the one who gives the gifts. Isn't that great? And so we kind of concluded last week with really just kind of stopping and saying, come on, just prepare your heart to receive from God. But the way, get into the way God does stuff. And so today we're going to just kind of continue on. There's your quick review of our past few weeks. But I encourage you, please go back, listen to, get those DVDs or get those CDs of these previous sessions talking about the King's Kid, because it goes into a lot more detail. But I really want to get into this special part today because now we're going to talk about how to really navigate these ways of God. In fact, the word navigation is the science of determining the position of a person or a thing, and then charting a course for guiding them safely and expeditiously. Don't you like that word? Use the big word. From one point to another. And I guess some of the biggest ways, or the most familiar ways that we know about navigating is people will navigate ships on the ocean. And so the thing they have to do is they have to find, they use all kinds of special instruments like compasses and things like that to find, to locate where they are right now. And then they set the direction of where they're trying to get to. And they'll use everything from the stars to different points along the seashore to help them know where they are at all times and to keep them moving in the proper direction. That's what navigation is about. And so what the Lord does is by his word, he shows us how to navigate, how to identify clearly where we are. And that's why we started off, and we start off these sessions by talking and by praying about rejecting condemnation and rejecting accusation and rejecting offense. Because if you don't receive what God says about where you are right now, when the Holy Spirit identifies something about where you are, he's actually helping you to get moving. Yes. Navigation is not just simply it's not the action, not only the action of that ship moving, but first thing that ship has to do, first thing the captain of a ship, the navigator, as they call that person, has to do is identify where we are right now. Right. And for too long, people have tried to move out in certain directions, move out in the things of God, trying to reach a certain destination, and they haven't started with the first thing. Right. Where am I?
What condition am I in right now?
Yeah.
Yes.
When you go to the doctor, they don't just start treating you.
Right.
The first thing they've got to do is find out what condition are you in?
Yes.
Man, how would you feel if a doctor starts examining your head, but your leg is broken?
Right.
You know that. And so when the Holy Spirit starts identifying what is wrong or what's gone awry or what needs to be healed and what needs to be fixed, he's not condemning you.
Right.
He's not accusing you.
No.
And he certainly isn't trying to abuse you. He's not trying to offend you. But and so I know that that's part of the reason why the Lord told us to do even this teaching this way, because for some reason, the enemy has been able to effectively and strongly infiltrate the mindset of the body of Christ in this area in particular with offense and accusation and condemnation. And God is raising up people, leaders, teachers, pastors, will you allow me to say evangelists, even the prophetic, to pull down those strongholds. That's a threefold cord here in this area. And the Bible clearly says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. And so we're telling you that this teaching and what we're talking about now, navigation, is a key point in pulling down that stronghold. Even now, don't resist this word. I'm sensing that right now. I don't know who's watching this tape. I don't know who's listening to this CD. But I stand against it. We oppose that right now in the name of Jesus. I will not be offended. I will not take this as an accusation against me. I will not receive condemnation. Holy Spirit, you're just simply showing me where I am.
Yeah, so that I can move forward, so that I can be healthy, so that I can be blessed, so that I can fulfill the purpose and destiny of God.
Yes, Lord.
So that I can be all that God has called me to be in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. You know, the practice of navigation requires not only a thorough knowledge of the science of navigation, but also considerable experience and judgment. In other words, it's not just simply knowing all of the things about navigating. I got a compass. I got all these different instruments and all these things. I know the scientific way. I know all the practical steps to get me from one point to another. And so this statement is in there because if you don't have the experience and the judgment, you still can get lost.
Sure,
just
can.
Because you know that the compass always points north, that doesn't mean that you really still know how to navigate a ship in troubled waters to get to the point. There's more to just simply knowing, memorizing the steps. And many times that is the issue for many of us in the church, in the body of Christ. I know all the steps. I know the 10 points for that, the 8 steps to that. I can even get A's and B's in examinations, written papers on biblical terminology and definitions and revelation and all those kinds of things. If someone were to give me an examination, I could answer all the questions and make A's on all the tests and all of that. But when it comes to practical, everyday rubber meets the roll stuff, then I fail miserably.
Yeah.
And that is because I don't know how to apply all of this information. I can memorize scripture and have no idea how to apply it. Therefore, you really don't know how to navigate.
Right. You can even know how to apply it. but still get lost because you're not, first of all, again, you have not dealt with the condition that you're in.
Yeah.
There might be unforgiveness there. There might be generational curses that you need to deal with first.
Yeah.
There might even be some natural physical things that you have not dealt with. Just the basic things, eating right.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Taking vitamins.
Yeah.
Going to
bed on time, getting a good night's sleep each night.
Patching up the holes in your boat, paying your tithes.
The enemy loves taking advantage of that one. Boy, you're wide open when you don't tithe on a regular basis or you don't give. And I mean, just so many, you know what to do, but you don't ever actually do it.
Right.
And therefore, that's why we said you can know the science of navigation, but really don't have the experience.
Right.
You haven't really experientially done it.
Right. Forgiveness. Oh,
yeah.
Man,
if you got unforgiveness there, then that's a big hole in your boat.
You can go on, but you are going to get lost.
Yeah, you're
going to
get lost along the way. And also, here's a big one about navigating and needing experience and judgment. We talked about this a lot when we talked about living, about an orphan spirit who lives as if though they don't have any parent or any counsel or any guidance.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you won't listen to those around you who have been around you, who have tried to give you advice and tried to give you counsel. They've gone that road before. And so you're saying such things as, well, it's the year 2005 or 2006 or whatever year that you may be watching or listening to this CD. It's the 21st century now. You know, back there in the 1960s, that's how it was for y'all. Let me give it to you this way. In 1960, the law of gravity said that if you jump off of the cliff, remember that picture that we showed you about, it's not going to happen to me. You know, in 1960, the law of gravity was in effect.
Right.
And if you jumped off a cliff, you were going to drop down. Now, it doesn't make any difference if you had on big afro or what was the clothes, bell-bottom pants, mini skirts, and
platform shoes,
psychedelic colors. It doesn't make any difference. The law of gravity said if you jumped
off, black, red,
you're going to, if you jump off a cliff, you're going down. Well, What makes it any different now that it's the 21st century and we've got CD players and MP3 and iPods and all this kind of stuff, high-tech stuff? And so there's no need of looking at someone and saying, well, back in the 60s and the 70s, that law of gravity just affected y'all. But see, now we have iPods and now we have CD players and we have computer and we have internet. And all that stuff don't apply to us anymore. Well, actually, the law of gravity is still in effect. And so that's why people, what they're trying to say is son, daughter, even though it was in the 60s and the 70s and 80s when I messed up, when I jumped off that cliff, it's still the same today. Yes. In the 21st century, the same law that I tried to violate,
yes,
and jumped off the cliff and I crashed, you're about to do it too. And so stop saying that's how it was back in the old days. In the old days, it was the law don't change.
Right. Whenever you choose to go against the ways of God because you think they are antiquated,
yeah,
you are still going to come up with the same results.
Yeah.
Maybe for a different reason, but you're going to get the same results. I don't care what year it is.
Yes.
God is God. He is unchangeable. He is immutable. He is sovereign. He is all powerful.
Yeah, certain things he's just not going to change.
He has put these laws in effect. Yeah. His ways are laws.
Yes, they are. And so he, as we know, people talk about God being relevant. Wasn't Jesus relevant to his time? Yes, he was. In other words, he communicated in a relevant way in his season and time. That's all we're trying to do. In fact, what you're looking at now, this is modern times. 21st century, pastors preaching and ministering on DVD. But you know what? Even though the medium, the method has changed, the message is still the same. I'm saying the same thing that preachers were preaching 40 years ago. It's just that they didn't have a DVD recorder. They did not have internet. But it's the same message because it's the same God. And so come on, hear it today. If you want to navigate, then you're going to need to listen to those that have experience and can help you in judgment and really knowing how to do it. So you can gain a knowledge of the science but still lack the experience and judgment. So today I want to give you what you need now. That's what we want to do. Today we want to give you what you need now, what you need to navigate to your future. And so we use the acronym NOW, now, which means it stands for Nuggets of Wisdom. We want to give you the nuggets of wisdom that you're going to need in order to get to the future, in order to really see God change things in your life. First of all, let's look at this awesome nugget. It comes from Proverbs, the 19th chapter, the 20th verse. And it says this: listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. There are many plans in a man's, and I put in parentheses, orphans, because we've been talking about the orphan spirit, how we live without God, live as if that we don't have a father. We don't have any protection, don't have any provision, don't have any purpose. There are many plans in an orphan's or a man's heart. Nevertheless, listen to the word, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Now, here's the reason why this particular nugget is so important. I took the time to look up a couple of words so that we could really get the point of what God is saying to us in this particular proverb. The word counsel is a Hebrew word. It's etza. And from that word, you get yawetz or yaetz. And it means advice, and by implication, meaning it automatically implies plan, and also prudence. Talking about God, advice, advisement, counsel, and it also means counselor. It means purpose. You really have to see this. So when it says the counsel of the Lord will stand, the plan of the Lord is going to stand, the prudence of the Lord will stand, the advice of the Lord will stand, the counsel of the Lord will stand. And listen to this, the counselor of the Lord. In other words, God's going to put somebody, a human being, in your life to give you his counsel. The purpose of the Lord, that will stand. And also, here's the thing that really struck me. I love, because I was able to go back and even look at one of the root words, a primitive root for that word counsel means to advise. Reflexively, it means to deliberate or to resolve, to take or receive advice, to advise well, to consult. Again, it means to take counsel. So when God says, when he is, you're looking at, when you say the counsel of the Lord will stand, then he's talking about you and me being humble enough to take counsel.
Being wise.
In other words, there are many people say, well, I'll listen to the Lord, but I ain't listening to no human being. No, he's talking about human beings that he speaks through to minister into your life, to take advice from a counselor. That's a root word. For when it said the counsel of the Lord will stand, it means you and I to take advice from a counselor to determine, to devise, to guide, again, purpose. And so when you looked at the, when you look into some of the details of what that means, that there are things, because here's why it's important, because man can have a whole lot of plans, but you don't really know how to implement all of that. You don't know how to do all those things.
Or even when.
You don't even know when to start it and all those kinds. And so many times you get a great idea and you run out because you feel like God gave this to you. And it can be God that gave it to you, but you run out and you start trying to do it. So many things you really got to understand. So that's why it says the counsel of the Lord that will stand. Have to understand this. Listen to that. Look at that proverb. It says there can be many plans in your heart, but only the counsel of the Lord is going to stand, which means some of your plans will fall.
Yes.
That's what that proverb is clearly saying.
Yes.
Many plans in our heart, but only God's counsel will stand, which means that many of your and my plans are not going to stand.
If they're not God.
Because they're not a part of the Lord's counsel, or you were not willing to listen. We and I were not willing to get his counsel and advice about how to do that plan.
Yes.
Listen to this. There are things you must deliberate and resolve. All of this is in that root meaning. Counselors can provide you and me a checklist of things you need to consider as you try to move forth in your plans. In other words, and you look at this long list of things that I put there, but I did that on purpose just to give you a little bit of background on us.
Yes.
I'm doing this kind of, I remember there was a time in the Bible where the Apostle Paul, his authority was being challenged. So he took the time to give the people a little bit of his story and his background to let them see I'm not just talking.
Right.
There's a reason why God put me in this position.
Yes.
So will you allow us to, in a sense, do that with you right now? Before we got launched out into being senior pastors, this is all a part of the counsel of the Lord that we had to receive. We had many plans, but we had to go through lots of deliberation. My own pastor gave me a list of 26 things that he told me I needed to get resolved and fixed and straightened out and learn how to do. If I was going to be a successful senior pastor. And he said, and those are just the foundation. He said, that's just the starting point.
Right.
In other words, he gave me a literal A to Z list. Because there are 26 letters in the English alphabet.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me a list of A to Z, 26 things for me and my wife to start deliberating and going through a checklist of things for us to get ready for in order to be senior pastors. That's what we mean by you can have many plans, but you better get some counsel. And I mean some good counsel, some people that really have your best interest in mind, not their best.
Exactly.
Some of you can get involved in things.
Who don't have a vested interest.
And their only interest in helping you is what they're going to get out of it.
Right.
How you're going to eventually benefit them and what they want to do. They're not thinking about you.
Right.
They're smiling. They're shaking your hand.
Yes.
They're saying this is a great idea and all those kinds of things. But they're just sitting back waiting for you to do all the work so they can jump on after you've done all the work and take credit and the money and everything after you've done all the work. I'm telling you what we know. And so, come on. And you may be been burned by those situations and hurt. And so, therefore, you don't want to do anything right now. You don't even want to try anymore. But even that plan to quit, that's not of God.
Right.
So listen to this counsel. Your counsel now is come on, get up, get ready. This time, do it according to the counsel of the Lord this time. Oh, yeah. My Lord. We had to go through, get legal issues resolved. We had to get federal incorporation. We had to get state incorporation here in the state of Pennsylvania. Even though we were still in Missouri, I still had to go online and find out how to get incorporated in the state of Pennsylvania. We had to find out and learn the fundraising do's and don'ts. We had to assemble a board of elders, write articles of incorporation, establish what our membership requirements were going to be for people that join this church, donation record keeping, get the computer and accounting system in place. After we got here, we had to get a security system, liability insurance, property insurance, a phone system, a website and email system. We already have things in place for staffing and an employment system, health care, quarterly, monthly filings of federal, state, and local taxes, federal and state unemployment insurance, corporate taxes, building codes, and inspection. Get all the things, get prepared for all those kinds of things to come in. Heating, cooling, utilities bills, janitorial and maintenance things put in place. Oh, that was just to get started.
Right.
My Lord, and that's what we mean by if you got all these plans in your heart, you got to get counsel. You got to receive the counsel of the Lord. You got to receive the counsel of the Lord. And he's going to speak through counselors. He's going to bring advice and wisdom across your path to get that, to get the counsel of the Lord to stand. Mm-hmm. We're talking about his plans and what he wants done, his purpose to stand. Mm-hmm. Not just a temporary, it worked for a couple of years and then it all fell apart. Right. Then you're wondering why it all fell apart. In fact, there have been many times some of you have probably seen this. Great restaurants, the food was great, the service was great, and we wondered, why did they go out of business?
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's this list of things that I'm giving you right now.
They did not cover their business.
They didn't cover themselves. Yes. They didn't handle all of these matters.
Yes.
That's why they went out. With great food and great waiters and waitresses, they still went out of business because all of these things must be put in place and must be established.
Yes.
Oh, my Lord. Most people put their emphasis on their business, on their product.
Right.
Without understanding, there's more than just having a great product and great service. There's a whole lot of things that have to be in place in order for you to really be able to successfully put off the plan. Here's some more we had to consider. We had to take courses in ministry ethics and protocol.
Yes.
Did you know that that's necessary?
It is very necessary.
Ministry ethics. Yeah. How to talk to people, how to be in one-on-one situations, maintaining integrity. Me as a pastor, never counseling a woman alone in my office.
Right.
My wife, the same thing, a man alone in her office.
Right.
If we do have to be in that situation, you make sure you leave the door open and that you have enough people around in a public setting, in the office or in the place where you're ministering, that nobody could ever accuse you of anything happening.
Right.
I'm talking about ministry ethics.
Yeah.
And protocol, how to approach and talk to people, the kind of subjects that you even get into with men and women in the house of God. Oh, yeah. Actually, those are things that you have to get in. What you say, but I'm not going to start no church and I'm not going to. You still got to understand ministry ethics and protocol, the way, the proper steps in which to engage people.
If you're going to deal with people,
you got to understand protocol. The protocol in a business is not the same thing as is in government. You may have to understand government protocol. You may have to understand protocol dealing in community services. Understand the protocol dealing in a church or in different types of ministries.
Yes.
Going into a prison. Everybody has a set of
different
sets of protocol and orders that they want things done.
Protocols.
And you've got to learn them. You must accept that that's a reality.
If you want to be successful and if you want to be long lasting.
Because some of you say, oh, I got to deal with all these papers and all this information and all these rules. I just simply want to minister to people. Well, this is part of the counsel.
And the cost.
Because, yes, there's a great calling. There are many things you want to do. Some of you want to sing. You want to preach. You want to minister. You want to counsel people. Some of you want to you want to provide fun activities for young people. And you want to get onto the streets. There's so many things that you want to do. You want to give food away. You want to give clothes away. You want people to have help and assistance with scholarships to go to school. There's so many things you want to do. But you must understand ministry ethics and protocol in order to get it done. And if you just say that, well, that's just, I'm going to leave that to somebody else to do, I'm telling you now, they're not going to do it.
They're not going to have your heart about it.
They're not going to do it. So come on, accept this reality. Then there's various workshops and seminars that my wife wife and I attended on church and ministry, business administration. We went through a 30-week biblical counseling course. We went through a 16-week supervisory training course I did at the University of Missouri. Went to another 16-week, they called it a mini MBA course. Both of us took leadership training course in our church, which was 3 years. We went through a year of basic Bible doctrine, 6 years of youth ministry experience. We have 12 years of pastoral experience. I have 14 years of church administration. And then here comes the real tough stuff. I ain't gotten to the tough stuff yet. Yeah. Here's the other stuff that must be part of the council. How's your marriage?
Right.
How's your family?
Right.
Is your spouse in agreement with what you said God told you to do?
Yes.
Can your family and your children handle the pressure that you are about to bring on the whole family?
Right.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Oh, yes, you are. You're about to bring tons of pressure into your family. Some of you don't like being in the spotlight, and you don't like living in what they call living in a glass house. But if you're getting involved in ministry, even to just help people in the community,
Yes. You
are about to make your home a glass house.
Yes.
And people are going to throw stones.
Yes, they are.
And they're going to hide their hands after they throw their
Yes. Stones,
because that is the nature. That is the nature of ministry.
Yes.
In any setting, in any capacity.
Government, business,
doesn't make
church.
Any difference. So if you don't like people criticizing you, accusing you, attacking you, talking about you, then you need to really reconsider as to whether it was God told you. Are those your own plans, or is it just something, is it really something that God told you to do? Oh, yeah, this is all a party. So can your family and your children handle the pressure that you're about to bring on them? How's your financial situation? Are you still struggling with your bills? Listen to me. My Lord, I mean, even before we launched forth and we were finally able to sell our house and everything, first thing we did was paid off all our debt in St. Louis so that we could come here. And the only thing we wanted to have was just a house payment and a car payment.
Right.
Because we didn't want to be loaded down with tons of credit cards and all kinds of bills and stuff to be working in the ministry. Oh, yeah, that's important.
Yes, it is.
Here's another one. Are you still struggling with some secret sin in your life? Is there something that you're still deeply struggling with in emotionally, sexually?
Financially.
Yeah, financially. There's some secret things that are still happening inside of you. Because I'm telling you, you don't launch forth in the ministry saying, I'm just going to keep it a secret. And God's just going to, the very areas of your secret, the Satan is coming after that directly.
He is.
And he's going to do everything he can to expose it.
Yes, and use it to kill.
And use it to
destroy.
Yeah. Is there something in your past that still is unresolved? Have you been raped? Has there been incest? Has there been abuse and assault? Have you been molested, male and female? Are you still in conflict with your family over some deep, way back in the past family issues? Conflicts over stuff happening on jobs, conflicts with other churches and ministries and with other pastors. Still got some grudges and hurts and pains about places that you came from. All of that you've got to consider. In other words, we're asking, have you counted up the cost before you try to work any of these plans? That's what we're saying. And so we're down to our last few minutes, but I want you just to see this scripture now, see this proverb. I'm giving you a nugget here today. See this proverb now according to this definition. There are many plans in a man's or an orphan's heart, but nevertheless, the Lord's advice will stand. The Lord's plan will stand. The Lord's prudence will stand. The Lord's purpose will stand. Now comes a very tough statement that's really difficult for some to hear, but I'm telling you, it'll liberate you and free you once we get a chance to go into it in our next session. But listen to this statement clearly. Everything that God shows you that needs to be done does not mean that he wants you to be the one to do it. Listen to me. I'm not trying to hinder and stop those of you who feel like God has called you to do some things. But now you've got, come on. This isn't accusation. It's not condemnation. Certainly not a place for you to get offended. This is to free you, because some of you have taken on burdens that are not yours. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy. That word yoke is easy. We understand in the Greek means what I put on you is well fitting. Yes. It fits your personality, yes, your lifestyle. You don't have to try to make nothing happen. It fits your family. It fits everything.
Your finances.
It fits everything. He said, my yoke is easy, meaning it's well fitting and fitting. And then he said, and my burden is light. Yes. If you are overburdened, and if you are under something that's just wearing you out and tearing up your family, right, and your life, then you need to reconsider as to whether what you are doing is something that God told you or is it just something that God showed you.
Right. And you were to pray and intercede.
That's all he wanted you to do. Sometimes God just shows you things that needs to be done because he wants you to pray about it.
Right.
And then there are other things that God will actually tell you. Here is how I want you to get involved in doing this.
Right.
You must find out what are those things you must do.
Right.
Yeah, because there's some things that you're just simply supposed to talk about. You may be supposed to pray about, and even to make people aware that those things need to be addressed. But you're not supposed to be the one to do it. In other words, you must find out what are those things that you must do about it. I see a need for us to minister to the children. I see a need for the youth to be ministered to. I see a need for the homeless to be able to find. I see a need, and children of God, we need to join in. We need to pray. I want you to join in. But did God tell you to just declare something about it, or did he tell you to actually get in there and start a ministry to actually begin to address those needs? And some of you, you are worn yourselves out trying to get in there and address things that God didn't tell you to do. He just simply showed you that those things need to be. They need to be ministered to. They need to be addressed. But you weren't the one. And we'll get into this next time. So this is your four, kind of give you a taste into the next one. We're going to show you two particular men in the Bible. Well, that was their case. God simply showed them the need, but he didn't tell them that they were supposed to do something. Somebody else was supposed to do. Their job was to prepare the way for the next person that God actually wanted to do something about it.
Right.
Oh, yeah. So come on, get freed up tonight. Some of you, you just been worn out. Get freed up today. If it's day or night, whatever you happens to be, you're listening to this or watching this. Come on, get freed up of stuff, that burdens that you took on. Because if the burden is heavy, that didn't come from the Lord.
No.
Jesus said, my burden is light.
Right.
My burden's light.
Yeah.
And so if you're heavy and weighed down, then you picked up something that God didn't give you.
Right.
Maybe you picked up somebody else's responsibility, and it wasn't yours. It really wasn't wasn't to be part of your plan. It was just something that out of wasn't supposed to be part of your purpose. But you just saw that it was something that needed to be done. In fact, we've encountered through all our years of ministry, we've come across many, especially young ladies who, because of the things that happened in their life,
right,
everything from rape to incest to someone had an abortion, and they felt like because they had been through it,
right,
that they were called to go into that ministry.
Right.
But they weren't called to go into that ministry.
No.
It was just something that they've been through personally.
Right. And it was for them to pray and intercede for those who have been through the same thing.
Yeah.
But God also wanted those people they wanted them to be healed first.
Yeah.
To be taught and trained first.
Yeah.
Before you send out. Otherwise, you're putting the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
You haven't counted up the cost. You haven't gained advice or wisdom first.
Yeah.
Before you started out on your course, you haven't patched up the holes in your boat first.
Yeah.
Before you went out and hit the storm, before you were vulnerable to being sunk.
Yeah. And so one of the things we saw that so many times, a number of young ladies, even their daughters of ours, they felt so compelled to go into to minister to other young ladies who were going through what they had been through. And they discovered once they got in there and they tried to minister to them, and those young ladies started pulling on them and trying to get them to minister to them and all their different issues, they found out they weren't called to it.
Or they weren't healed.
They weren't even, so either they weren't healed yet or they really weren't called to go back. God had a whole nother calling, another whole nother purpose and plan for them. And so they've had to come to grips and just settle it. Okay, Lord, even though I had an abortion, it does not mean that my calling on my life is to go back and to minister to other women that are going through this. There may be a completely different area that the Lord is calling them into. In fact, a number of them have found themselves involved in ministry with their husbands.
Yes.
Some of them, a couple of them have gotten married and they found out I was called all along to work with this man and what God put in his heart.
Yes.
And even though I went through this in my life, I'm not called to a ministry of just ministering to women who've been through this. Wow. I'm really called to connect with my husband and what God put in his heart. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And so, come on, get freed up. Get freed up right now. Lord, I thank you for freedom in this room and in this place and in the home. The person who's listening to this or watching this, freedom, Lord God, to now step into your real purpose and plan for their life. I thank you, Lord God, as they have seen and observed that, Lord, we take off all those burdens. Come on, right now, throw off all the burdens, all the extra stuff that you've taken on. Thank you, Lord. Yes, come on, cast it all off. Lord, I only receive the yoke that you have for me, what's well-fitting for me. I only receive the burden that you have for me. You said it would be light. I receive that, Lord God. You're not a father that exasperates, that puts on more than children can bear. So, Lord God, I've been feeling like things are unbearable. And I see in this word today that it's because I have taken on things that were not mine to take on. I've taken on responsibilities that were not mine. I've taken on plans that were not mine. I've taken on parts of the purpose that was not mine. And so, Lord God, I throw it all off.
Yes,
I give it all back to you. If I give up everything, give it all to the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord. And I only receive that which applies to me.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Thank you, Lord. Well, God bless you. And we look forward to the next session. Oh, it's going to be so special. Don't you miss it. Because now we're going to show you, there's some good stuff that you got to see. Some of you are forerunners of things that God's going to do. All of this is part of being a king's kid. Come on, you got to be back next time because this is going to change your life forever. God bless you.